Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. every Monday at 3 p.m. The show broadcasts live every Monday at 3 p.m. and is available archived later on fullserviceradio.org. I'm Matthew Ramsey, tacosexual, chef, photographer, and author of the cookbook Porn Burger, Hot Buns and Juicy Beefcakes. Yes, that's a thing.
I'm Eddie Kim, local bartender. Not sure what kind of sexual. No book written, but I just know how to pour some drinks. So about the podcast, every week we will share a shift drink and swap some war stories from behind the bar and behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. Today, we're lucky enough to be sitting down with Adam Birnbach, the award-winning, cat-loving cocktail cartoonist. He is the bar director for Two Birds, One Stone, Doimoi, Estadio, and Proof, all great restaurants here in Washington, D.C. He is a foundational pillar of D.C.'s cocktail underground. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. So, first things first, we wanted to... Since the name of the podcast is Shift Drink, we asked you what your favorite shift drink or what we regularly have, and you chose
the all coveted shift drink.
Yeah,
I chose Scotch, blended Scotch whiskey.
Blended Scotch whiskey.
In this case, Pig's Nose.
Pig's Nose was a great 5-year blended Scotch whiskey. Let's everyone take a Folgers moment.
L'chaim.
A Folgers moment.
L'chaim. Actually, good segue. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a very important holiday to my people.
Yeah.
What day is it right now?
Is it 7, I believe? 7? I think it's 6 or 7. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm obviously not the most observant Hanukkah.
Have you been focusing... Because you guys make a new bar menu every week, right?
We do. Two Birds, yeah.
Yeah, Two Birds.
Yeah.
Have you done any festive cocktails this week?
Or? Yeah, man. Yeah. Again, very serious Hanukkah observer. No, but every year I do a Hanukkah menu almost because of how little I'm into Hanukkah. But yeah, I do. One thing I've enjoyed doing is I do a Chananog.
Okay.
Because I didn't grow up with eggnog. I never really got into it. I kind of like it now, but I wanted to do something that was... Like an eggnog for me.
Mm-hmm. It's a pronunciation key.
Oh, you got to do the ha. Ha sound. Okay. Sounds like we're doing vocal exercise.
Yeah, I feel like it translates well on radio.
Just a little bit of the phlegm goes into each batch,
right? Exactly, yeah. Is there a mic guard? Yeah.
And what's in this beast?
So it's it's different from most eggnogs in that it has a significant amount of buttermilk in it. It's also it's Muscatel sherry and apricot eau de vie. It's got cardamom and cinnamon in it. So it definitely
it's a lot of fruit notes.
A lot of fruit notes. It's very bright, very balanced.
Nice.
It's not overbearing in any way. It's very drinkable. You could have even more than one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. I'll do it.
That's good for a nog.
Real quick before we dig too deep. Also, this is literally the opening day for the Lion Hotel. Maybe we can give a little slow clap to Jack in the recording booth here for
Jack Insley
pulling this all together.
Thanks, guys.
It's a big day around here. We just heard the actual bell that's letting everybody know that the Lion Hotel is actually opening up to the public in about an hour. So it's pretty exciting to be here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone wants a drink too. All the back bars are. This is the cleanest I've ever seen a back bar with all the bottles being not covered in dust and or syrup. So
I can tell a quick story about that. So that was because there was a photo shoot and they had overlooked the fact that the bar needed to be stocked. So that happened really, really quickly yesterday.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of bottles of Manischewitz back there. Yeah?
No. Adam, why are we drinking the scotch? What is it about the scotch that gets you?
It always, you know, in a weird way, it just doesn't have these notes in it, but it makes me think of years ago. I used to work with a pastry chef named Lizzie Evelyn, who now does Paisley Fig. But she did a butternut ice cream, and I always think of scotch when a blended scotch whenever I have a blended scotch, I always think of that dessert, and it's almost like this weird
I can. You're saying that I can taste like the butter pecan aspect. Like
it's almost like an implication. It's like hearing when you hear a note, you think of another note, kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's so it. There's something always very warming to me about blended Scotch because of that. Blended Scotch is delicious unto itself, but having that kind of sense memory, is pretty rad. So I really enjoy. There's something super calming for me about Scotch.
And just for our listeners out there, Paisley and Fig is.
Lizzie Evelyn, formerly, or she.
This was at St. X.
At St. X, when she.
But this was like, this was, I mean, almost 15 years ago now.
For her world famous, honey goat cheesecake.
Oh, yeah, that was right. And the chocolate pot of crown.
Chocolate, ancho chili
pot. Yeah, that was.
All right, well, we're going to start this off with, we do like a little rapid fire series questions just to warm up the guests, warm up the host.
I'm excited. Can I take a sip first?
Yeah, please. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Get in the zone.
Jack, I just realized you don't have one in your hand.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Are you ready? You all lubed up?
I'm feeling it. All right. Hit me.
Okay. Aperitifs or digestives?
Oh, they're so hard, so quick.
I know.
You don't even ramp that, up. That's,
yeah.
That's a pretty...
That's what the sip was for.
Yeah, that's a... I would say it depends on the season.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go hard and fast, like jump into it in the winter, but in the summer I definitely need aperitifs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, choose which digestif and which aperitif. How about that?
All right. My digestif is Amaro Nardini. That's my favorite. And then my aperitif, that's more of an expansive question. I mean, that could be anything from, you know, gentian, some sort of gentian, or even just a sparkling wine. Or crisp white wine. It's all of it. It's wherever you are. Wherever Rome is. Sorry?
A little spritz.
Yeah.
Favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Oh, man. Saturday morning cartoon. I don't know that I was allowed to watch Saturday morning cartoons. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if my parents would listen to this, but...
they are. They definitely are.
Shoot. What was my favorite Saturday morning cartoon? G.I. Joe, probably. Was that Saturday morning?
Yeah.
All right. I'll definitely. When I think of cartoons, though, it's pretty much Simpsons.
Okay.
But that's obviously that was.
Is that where your love for cartooning came through?
That's up there.
Okay.
That's real high up there. Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll get back to that. all right. So famous cat, marry, fuck, kill. You ready?
Wait, can we talk about fucking a cat? Is that...
Nah, it's like...
is that what this radio station is about?
It's a metaphor, right? I mean, he does bring up a good point, but...
Right.
It's a metaphor for... okay.
Your animal lovers.
Yeah.
There's a great Steve Martin routine about fucking a cat that you should all go back and listen to.
We'll link to it.
If you can link to that routine, that would be rad. If there's a footnote...
That might help all of us out since this is live.
Yeah.
All right. Little Bub. Garfield.
Yeah.
Or Grumpy Cat.
I only know what I don't know what Little Bub. Who's
You don't know Little Bub? He has the tongue that hangs out the side of his mouth.
What?
He's insta famous.
He's like a current thing? I guess you would have to be if you're insta famous.
Yeah.
It's not like insta existed 10 years ago. I don't know. I'm
okay.
So sorry.
You know Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, I know Grumpy Cat.
Okay.
So
I'm not a Grumpy Cat fan. I'm definitely... I definitely ship American short hairs. That's where I am on cats.
He's getting very specific.
I knew it. We should have done American short hairs.
I don't like, you know, like maybe Siamese. You know, those are pretty rad or Abyssinians, but I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is a weird side of you. It's great.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you, but Grumpy Cat, overrated. Garfield, though, rad.
Garfield's he's a cool cat.
Hates Mondays, though. And
yeah.
And what are we doing right now?
Yeah.
We're here on a Monday.
He would hate this.
He would hate this.
We're drinking, though. So that's fine.
Yeah, I guess so.
What would Garfield drink? What do you think?
Is there some sort of lasagna-infused something?
Ooh.
Yeah. What goes well with lasagna? Chianti. You drink Chianti. Yeah.
Yeah.
There
okay.
you go.
Easy.
There
Easy.
You go. We're writing this comic strip right now.
All the big topics.
Yeah.
Okay. Eddie Kim.
The most recent food you've microwaved.
Uh,
on a Hanukkah food. Latkes.
You should have microwaved latkes, man. That's they're crispy. Yeah.
That's, I'm not a chef.
You should maybe reheat on pan. Damn, guys. You're asking these really, really tough questions for me.
Whatever's at the tip of your tongue, man.
I'm trying to... What was the last thing I microwaved? Probably spaghetti and meat sauce.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I think that was... Yeah, that was fairly recently.
Yeah? Are these leftovers or... Are these,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like ragu off the... Okay. And I know you're kind of an old school hip-hop fan a little bit.
I'm an all hip-hop fan.
All hip-hop fan. Okay.
I all music. Whatever. Old school, new school, anything.
Whoa. Okay. Well, our question was geared toward old school, but maybe I'll mix it up.
No, say, just throw it out, yeah.
Kendrick?
Yeah.
Or MF Doom?
Kendrick. Oh, Kendrick, like, okay. 1,000 times Kendrick.
No hesitation.
Not even a moment.
We should have started with that question.
Yeah.
that was an easy one for you.
Kendrick's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
That dude is amazing.
Yeah, he's super talented. Did you see his new album with he reversed the track order?
I saw that he did that. I haven't purchased that one yet.
Okay.
I think it's a vinyl release though, is it not? Or
you can listen to it on Spotify.
Oh.
I mean, also you can just listen to it in reverse. I think
that's actually good. Yeah, you could totally do that.
Okay.
Actually, one more question.
Yeah.
And it's actually very pertinent since Two Birds is known for their bathroom, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most romantic restaurant bathroom.
Man, that's a really... Because then the implication is that you're fucking in the bathroom. I don't know. I don't know that I'm a bathroom guy in that way.
You never got a feeling, just, you know, a little tingling?
Not in a... No. So we had this bartender at Proof for years and years named Chris Russo, now Chris Russo Sharifi, this was at Proof, and people would always want to get down in that bathroom. I guess because there's more room or something. I'm not entirely sure, but we would have to send her in because she had this Texas drawl that she could kind of turn the volume up or down on, given what she wanted. And she would go in and you're like, you guys can't do that in here. Forgive the, if you're, by the way, Texan listening to this, forgive my my impersonation.
No,
but
spot on.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. You just can't have sex in these bathrooms.
So it's polite.
This actually brings up a good point because all three, like Proof, Estadio's, you've been waxing poetic about their romantic bathrooms.
That sounds terrible in this context, by the way, waxing poetic.
And then also, yeah, I mean, who does your bathrooms?
Well, the founder of the restaurant group, Mark Culler, was a big, big fan of expressive bathrooms. Would you say expressive?
Yeah, that works.
Maybe profane?
Yeah.
Two Birds, I think, is the best. The one with... But I think that was an accident. It looked different when we were considering it than what actually... It showed up way more dramatic and explicit.
Right.
Yeah.
We can be explicit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it look like?
Oh, it's just people having sex. It's but they're on flowers. So if you look at it quickly, it just looks like a almost like a periwinkle, entirely in shades of periwinkle flowers. And then when you look even more, but when you look more closely, you realize that there are people who I would say Rubenesque in their body types. Are having sex. Also in their body types and the kind of their facial like facial hair and that kind of jazz. They look like they're of a different time and they're getting down on flowers and petals and such.
That's pretty much how I always want to do it.
On flowers?
On flowers.
Yeah, okay.
And petals.
All right.
I want animal pelts.
I think I'm learning a lot about you guys today.
Yeah,
no, well, that's great. Not the fun. That's come shoot questions.
It is a conversation.
Yes. Yeah,
conversations are two ways.
Okay. Well, that concludes our rapid fire, which was I think medium fire at best, but we'll work on that.
Nice slow pace.
It was a slow.
Yeah, there was way more.
That was a slow burn fire.
Explanation too. I think I should have answered like one word.
We're at that time of year. It's 2017 going on 2018.
Wow.
Trends in 2017 that we're like looking to maybe kick, things that we're looking forward to in 2018. We're gonna talk about all that in a few moments after we get back from our first break.
First break ever.
Again, I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And we're with
Adam Rimbaugh. Adam Rimbaugh.
All right. Yeah. We'll be right back.
We fill your glasses.
Today's break song is called Shorty What's Up. It's by Rec Tech. SoundCloud.com/Rec Tech. We'll be right back on Shift Drink.
And welcome back to the Shift Drink Podcast. I'm Eddie Kim.
Matthew Ramsey.
And we're joined by Adam Rimbaugh, local. Yeah. Well, I was about to say mixologist, and we had a discussion in the car right over here whether we want to call you mixologist or if you want to call yourself a mixologist.
I'm fine with whatever. Just, you call me whatever you'd like to call me.
Oh, this is a very sensual
topic,
actually.
Animal pelts, flowers, and
mixology.
Yeah, you don't have to call me mixologist.
Yeah. I guess the reason we were talking about this, and we'll jump back to the 2017 things in a second here, but you started mixology night way back when at Bar Pilar.
Yeah.
And we were wondering if 'cause back then mixology meant, I think, something different to people who were trying to like up the cocktail game. Yeah.
Plus you're one of the founding members of the DC Craft Cocktail Bartenders Guild, which just celebrated its 10th anniversary.
Anniversary.
At the repeal ball last week.
Does mixologists hold the same clout still?
The term? I mean, you never really called yourself mixologists back then. You were just bartenders.
No, I think we definitely had a conversation about that, or a lot of conversations about that. And I think, like any field that develops fairly recently, a lot of the terminology can create certain reactions amongst the people who were involved in that movement, the people who are the recipients, the customers, the guests, the people who are coming across this for the first time, and how you present yourself and how you'd like to be presented is going to be a long conversation.
Yeah.
For me, the term mixologist it's fine. It seems, it's weird because it's an English word and then it has like a Greek suffix to it. So that seems kind of wonky and it sounds weird. I think at that point, the name of the guild, DC Craft Bartenders Guild, I think craft bartenders is something that we wanted to, that's the way we wanted to present ourselves at that time.
Yeah.
What it should be now, I honestly couldn't tell you. That's something I haven't considered.
Yeah.
Sort of because it's way more prevalent and it's way more accepted, and it seems like, in the days where the old fashioned is the vodka soda now.
Right.
It doesn't seem to have the same weight for me as a form of communication as to what I do and what we do.
Sure.
That it did at that time when nobody cared.
Right, you made things accessible.
Yeah.
And so what you did at Bar Pilar on Tuesdays was make cocktails accessible to people who are generally completely unaware of what was going on.
I think it definitely communicated in a way that was, there was a hook there, and I think it definitely, it worked. Listen, I'm here and I have a gig because of it.
Right on.
Yeah. But I think it was doing something in it was like, you know how people have like art happenings, that kind of thing, where you do, it's almost like an event, and it's in a box, and it communicates something in a certain way, and it makes it exciting.
Sure.
That's what I was trying to do. And I think to a certain number of people that did that. And
yeah,
then
absolutely.
Beyond that, after, you know, years later, I think it's now, I don't think it needs it in that same
context.
Yeah.
I was like, when I started bartending, that was right when you started doing the mixology nights. And so I looked up to you.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I've always respected your use of Kinoto. That's one of my favorite. One of my all-time favorite beverages.
It's definitely one of my all-time favorites as well.
And for our listeners, Kinoto is kind of it's basically like almost like a bitter cola or bitter soda, right? Is that how you would?
Yeah. I'm using cinchona, theoretically.
There's actually two.
Use Barolo Kinoto.
Which is it's those elements using cinchona bark. It's almost like a vermouth that's made from Barolo.
Okay.
Because you have make Barolo Kinoto, you have to be a Barolo producer.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it's definitely
And it's a prominent ingredient in your is it your kind of classic cocktail that you put out, your dark side?
I guess now. It's weird to think about that given that so that was on the very first, we were talking about the cocktail sessions at Pilar.
Yeah.
That was on the first menu, which was January of 2008. And to be kind of still where that's something that comes up and attached and to have developed a style that's very different from that, I think, at this point.
Right.
And have that be, I guess it is my signature. Yeah, in a lot of ways it is. It's pretty cool.
What's in it?
Gin.
Yeah, it's actually specifically Plymouth gin, because that's a style.
Very
herbal. It's a Plymouth gin. It's Barolo Kinoto. Originally, I did it with Macarini, I think, was the original one. But it's Coqui, and then Peixe Bitters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fun.
It's delicious.
It is delicious.
Thank you.
It is. It's one of those standards around town. It's fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So we looked back. Let's look at the year and rewind a little bit. What are some of the things of 2017 that you might be, that kind of came into the year strong, but are hopefully maybe leaving in 2018?
Ideally, racism and misogyny, I hope, are gone.
Right on.
That would be rad.
Yeah, that's definitely happening.
Yeah,
totally.
Anti-Semitism, I'd like that to disappear. That's a trend I want to die.
Absolutely.
It's totally fad. Mm-hmm. How about for food and beverage?
I think it's interesting because we're talking about sort of how cocktails are approached now and how the cocktail movement and craft cocktails or whatever term you want to use, craft bartending, how that's approached now. I think we're going to get deeper into that where a lot of the things that are maybe more, that are done for more kind of like ooh value or eye-catching value, they seem to have faded a little bit. There was just an article, but it was in the City Paper, I think, about old fashioned papers, the Washingtonian. Forgive me, whoever wrote it, because I came across it and now. But about how many old fashions are consumed in this city.
Ah, yeah.
And it's pretty amazing just the amount of old fashions that are. I mean, it is very much is the vodka soda.
Is that? Do you think because DC is such a brown town, liquor like spirit wise, or do you think they're consuming the same amount in Columbus, Ohio, or?
I think to a certain extent, yeah.
Okay.
But I think we're going to see a lot of people. I think the trend is going to be, I mean, outside of the trends, I could say like, oh, Amaros are going to be huge this year. But I think the reality is naturally the trend is going to be more people walking into a bar ordering a classic cocktail.
Right. But that's already happening now.
I think even more so, being comfortable and beyond the old fashions and Negronis. I think this year there's going to be, you know, two or three added to that list of things that people are just comfortable expecting.
Well, let's name them. Maybe Daiquiri. You think that's going to hit?
I think Daiquiri has always threatened that. I think.
Yeah.
you will get like a few people. I mean, it's difficult for me because. I obviously have a cocktail bar, and then even the restaurants do function pretty heavily on cocktails. But
you worked at Estadio, and then you it's kind of one of the first places you had the gin and tonic.
Yeah,
and the Spanish version of gin and tonic, which
well, it was a I mean, it's an interpretation of the Spanish gin and tonic. Yes. Going to if you go to Spain and get a gin and tonic, it's the Spanish gin and tonic is very different than the one you would get in the United States. At least at that point,
they're serious as fuck about their gin and tonics.
Yeah, but they don't. We make our own tonics, and
right.
and they that's not something that's part of their
handwriting. Yeah, they love using Seagram's tonic.
Well, yeah, they love using Seagram's bitter and Seagram's tonic, but they have the varieties of tonic that are over there equal, I think, the varieties of soda, just the soda that we have here.
But, what I mean, we're talking about the differences between Spanish and American gin and tonics. What are those differences, those key differences?
So the amount of gins that are available, the amount of tonics that are available are very different. Right. It's served in a very large balloon stem glass.
Yeah.
Similar to like a comic grotesque burgundy glass.
Right.
it's crazy.
It's crazy. And they're very specific about what tonics go with what gins and then what garnishes are used with those.
Right.
And you'll go to like a gin tonic bar that will have a list of 15 different suggested pairings.
Eddie and I have both been to the same gineria in San Sebastian.
Ginoteria, San Sebastian. I went there a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's the thing. It's kind of like what people do for like what I've seen here in the States is like tableside whiskey service and tableside make your own old fashions. Mm-hmm. Like there is your tableside gin and tonic.
Yeah, and even beyond the bars that are known for that, there's still you could go to a number of bars, and that's like the old fashioned,
right?
Like going to a number of bars now, the gin tonic there. But but it's also different. I mean, I did a seminar a few years ago. I was on a panel in Tales of the Cocktail with on the Spanish gin tonic, and I was with a number of Spanish bartenders. And you know, when I got around to talk, they were completely just bewildered by what I was doing.
Yeah.
Sort of like, oh, that's totally different than what we were talking about. You kind of misinterpreted this guy.
That's great. Was it humbling? Or was it like, oh, whatever.
I know, it was cool. No, I mean, they were cool with it, but they were like, oh, no, you totally missed the point.
Right on.
But I think, I mean, getting back to your question, I think I don't know that I could necessarily list the names of it, but I think we're going to see now, as we go on in the years, we're going to add two or three drinks to that list of four that are now going, that are a capital C cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That someone would be comfortable walking into most bars and ordering.
I mean, I'm biased, but like, I feel like mezcal has been on the rise as of late.
Oh yeah. Totally.
I feel like garnishes have been on the decline as of late. I know you're pro garnish.
It goes either way.
Yeah.
It really, I don't think they necessarily have been in decline. I mean, there's obviously very, very important, what's the word I'm looking for? Environmental issues for what garnishes mean, and how the process behind making them and then how to utilize them and all this sort of jazz.
Right.
There's amongst the bar movement. Or is that, I guess, what the fuck called? Amongst the cocktail movement, there's definitely a growing murmur to get rid of them entirely. Mm-hmm.
But that goes along with food as well. Anything that's kind of extraneous, like let's say the straw, for instance.
Yeah, that's exactly. Anything that's extraneous or superfluous or can be done away with, there's going to be a conversation whether or not we should
get rid of it. We're all going to have sex on pelts and eat with our hands. And
perfect. I'm intrigued. I love that.
With wooden cups that we fashion ourselves.
let's all get our lathe skills.
Yeah.
Sorry?
And then things we're excited about in 2018. I guess we talked a little bit about some of the classic cocktails coming back. I don't know. I feel like last year we saw like the little clothespins were used a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me. The way I kind of view things is I have two pillars that I'm always focused on, and one of them is process,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is relationships, and that's everything, the process of how you develop things, but also the process of how like if you're a guest going into a bar,
yeah,
and what your start to finish experience walking in and walking out is,
yeah,
and I that for me, I let that dictate. So I don't necessarily know that I look at things in terms of what's going to be, like, if I'm going to be using, what's going to be the clothespin of 2018?
Right. That's fair.
It's try to sort of organically evolve. And I mean, maybe, unfortunately, that means I evolve maybe a little slower than most people do in terms of...
It's a process, right?
Like, yeah.
One thing leads to the next.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing. I mean, you've been...
But maybe that's not who you are or your style of cocktail.
It might not be.
Fall back on the dark side. Yeah.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Yeah.
nice. No, but in turn, I think I'm a little bit more, my lane's a little bit more narrow, and I try to map my movements on a continual conversation with the people that come in and also the people that I work with.
Well, and I think that shows too. And also, I mean, you have to be inspired to create a full menu every week, right? Like, that inspiration has to come from somewhere, and it's kind of, I feel like, and maybe you can speak to this, but I feel like it's one thing kind of leading to the next. And I mean,
yeah,
inspiration can come from anywhere, but it's having gone down this past road and, you know, looking forward to.
Well, I think a lot of it is, I mean, speaking about that once a week menu, the way we do it is that we have a certain number of drinks and they each hit certain spots. So the way we think about it is, what are we into for that spot this week?
Sure.
And it, you know, you could look at year one, it was mostly me. And then going from there, year two, year three, year four, it's the people that work at Two Birds, Lucy Dunning, the bar manager there. And there's a few other bartenders who are exceptional,
right?
But also the people that, I mean, it's all a conversation. The people that come in, what are they drinking? How are they responding to something? What are they telling us?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we plug in. There's always, you know, there's a bunch of different flavor pairings and things that we're working on that are in the ether, and how we pull them off, pull them out of the air, and how we put them at the spots and what we do with them. I think a lot of that is informed by just what we're hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
And going on to relationships ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, you've thrown events called Two Birds and Friends.
Best Friends Gang.
Best Friends Gang.
Yeah.
Where you brought in producers from, they are your friends. I remember the Oxbow Brewing from Maine, mm-hmm. came down, Capitoline Vermouth, which is made local here in D.C. Mm-hmm. They did
Gordy's Pickles.
Gordy's Pickles.
Yeah. I've been to a few of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, it's what you're doing over at Two Birds is great.
Relationships with the people that produce what we use, and especially in the case of Best Friends Gangs, relationships with amongst ourselves, and then relationships with the people that come in,
right?
Who are guests in so many different ways,
right?
That's really the most important thing. It's, you know, it's those little. It's like, it's, you know, it's molecular. It's the atoms and the things that bind them, and that's just what we are. That's everything.
All right. Well, let's leave on that friend high note there. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Adam, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
We'll definitely have you back. I want to talk more about that.
We can find you over at Two Birds on a regular basis.
You can have me at Two Birds on Stone. Street. You can find me at Estadio. Find me at Proof. Find me at Dormoy.
All of which are on
everywhere,
14th Street.
Everywhere you are, I'll be.
And you still live on 14th Street, right?
No, I live in Mount Pleasant, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been living in Mount Pleasant for the last few years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
don't knock on a door. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can get your dark side elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
We can get your dark side cocktail.
Yeah, you can get them in a number of places.
Well, thanks for listening to us, friends out there. I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And you're listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan every Monday at 3:00.